Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today. My heart today is for everyone in this space, not to listen to amazing words I say or smart things that might come out of my mouth, but it's just to get into that place where the presence of the Lord is. When it says in the Bible to come up here, that means we are seated in heavenly places. And what do we do in heaven? What is happening in heaven right now? Worship. What was the enemy's title before he fell down to earth? Right. So what does he want to take away from all of us? Our ability to worship. So we need to guard that flame inside of us. We need to grow it, because worship is our weapon, and not where we're doing this aggressive, like at the enemy with worship, but it's where we get our attention on him. Because when we get our attention on him, and a lot of times what will happen in worship is we'll be worshiping, then we'll just get these ideas and thoughts. We'll be like, oh, no, I'm worshiping you, Jesus. But no. When we are in worship, there becomes a divine interaction that happens. And a lot of times thoughts, creative ideas from the Lord just come to us when we're in that place where we're just connected with him. So today, I am just going to pour out worship. And I want all of us to go into that place today, because I really feel like today there's going to be a shift that's going to happen. I believe the well, let's think about the well in the Bible. What happened? The angel stirred the well. All of these people came to the well for healing. I believe this place is going to be a place where when people walk into this space, they are going to be healed emotionally, physically, and delivered in worship. And I'm okay risking looking like a fool saying that, because I am so hungry to see the manifest works of signs and wonders, the natural overflow of our good Father to affect all of us when we are just in this place in unity, when we're all tuning in to the same frequency of his heart in unity. I believe heaven is going to come here in this place, and I believe that today. I know it, because my Lord said it, and all of his promises are yes and amen. So there's a verse that the Lord showed me this week, and it really spoke to me, and I'm hopeful that it'll speak to you as well. Isaiah 25, 4-5, and honestly, the best version that says it the best was the King James Version. So I'm going to say the these and the thous for you, and just listen to this with your heart. Open your spiritual eyes, open your spiritual ears, and hear what the Lord wants to show you for this verse, because it really hit me. Isaiah 25, 4-5, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. As the heat in a dry place, even in the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. So I don't know if you can relate to what I've been feeling like, but I've been hearing a lot of noise in my head lately. Whether it's from this, scrolling, whether it's the news, whatever that source is from strangers, it says, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. And that's what we need to intend in our hearts and our minds, to disconnect from the noise of strangers, because a lot of times the enemy likes to distract us. He likes to wear us down. And right now, I just pray over every single person that you would just break off right now, in the name of Jesus, that noise of strangers right now, that all of us will be able to step into that place and just connect with you. And then you, Lord, will be in charge of what you want to do in this time, Lord. You will be in charge of what you know is needed, because you're our Father and you always know best, Lord, because we don't see the big picture, Lord. And it might be different for every single person in this space, but Lord, you are that good that you're able to do amazing different things all at the same time in this space. So Lord, we all have our needs, Lord. We all have our cries out to you, what we've been believing for, Lord God. And we're going to bring that today, Lord, and we're just going to lay it down and we're going to say, Lord, this is my sacrifice. And I'm just going to be in a place, Lord, where I'm just going to be a sacrifice, Lord. And that flame is going to be burning for you, Lord God. All right, so I just encourage all of you to just get into a place of worship, whether that's walking around, sitting in the back, laying out, whatever you need to do. Lord, we don't want to waste another moment, Lord God, where we miss your goodness passing before our eyes, Lord God. We want to press in today, Lord God. Lord, I believe that things are going to break off of people in this space today, Lord God. I believe that your healing is going to fall, Lord God. I just believe, Lord, that these people are marked in Jesus' name for your power to flow through, Lord God, Jesus. I believe that the prophetic is going to flow today, Lord God. You're going to show things to people, Lord God, whether they're drawing, Lord, whether they're just writing things out, Lord God. I believe and I am expectant for great things to happen in this place, Lord God, because you have died for every single disorder, Lord God. You have died for every sickness, Lord God. You have died for every trauma in Jesus' name, Lord God. You are just going to flow through all of your children, Lord God. And just touch those places that need to be touched, Lord God. You are going to flush things out today, Lord God. Lord, we are just going to be in your presence today, Lord Jesus.
So I want to speak to the moms here. There's something that the world calls mom guilt. And I know that some people in here are really suffering from that, things they've said to their children, things they've done to their children, and I want to release that in the name of Jesus. Guilt and shame comes from the enemy, and you do not have to live there or dwell there. So I want you to accept forgiveness. I want you to accept grace. And I want you to accept mercy over your life and over the generations to come behind you. And then I want you to go one step further and to forgive your parents. Remember, they're just human too. And there have been things that they've experienced that you know nothing about. Maybe there's a little bit that you do know, but it's so much bigger than that. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against powers and principalities of darkness, and we need to take a stand knowing that Christ is bigger than all of this, that the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us and ordaining our steps is bigger than all of that. And we can break off those generational curses and bring in the generational blessings of our Father, our Heavenly Father, who set them before us. We are a small body, we are a small family, but we are mighty in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for each and every spirit represented here. Father, let us go out blessed from what we're doing here. Let us pour out that blessing into our workspace, into our community, into our grocery stores, into our civic places. Father, you are the authority that we take here. It is not about us. It is about you. Father, thank you for all that you've healed in us. Father, thank you for each gifting in each of these individuals here. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing and what you're creating. You are so much bigger than our ailments. You are so much bigger than our mindsets. You are so much bigger than what we've been chained to our lives. When you release us, we release you. Let us us not hold back, Father, any longer. Let us be bold. Let us be brave in your mighty, matchless name. What Jesus did on the cross was for once and for all. We are not prisoners. We are not bound by our circumstance. So, Father, lay the path before us so that we can follow it. Light a lamp to our feet so our steps are made clear. Not a spirit of confusion, but of faith, love, and a sound mind, we go from here. Don't hold back, Jesus. Thank you. Give you all the glory and honor and praise. It is all about you, Father. It is all about you, Jesus. It is all about you. Holy Spirit, guide us. In his mighty, matchless name we pray. Amen.
Jesus. I just feel like the Lord on what she was saying. Things that we thought are going to take a long time. The Lord is not in our sphere of time and space. The Lord wants us just to get ready, prepare for the promise. I feel like the Lord's just saying, prepare for the promise. Just start preparing your hearts. If the Lord's calling you to do something, prepare, study, train, discipline, and prepare for it. Just steward what he's speaking to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I do think, though, that before I even get into today's message, I think it's important for us, with all that God did in this time this morning, it's important for us to remember. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I can guarantee you that God did some things here this morning. For myself, when Kat prayed about knees, I've been struggling with a knee, and I got relief. Now, here's the thing. It's not quite complete yet. I can still feel a little tightness in it. And I know, and I can tell you all also, that when we leave this place and when we go through our rest of our week, the enemy's going to try and bring symptoms and situations and circumstances to make us think that we didn't receive what God did here this morning. But that's a lie, because on the cross Jesus said, it's finished. He is faithful to complete the good work that he started. So, that being said, we're going to get into the message, and I'm so glad you're all here today. Over the past couple weeks, Matt's been speaking to us about eternity. And last week, the message focused on that we should live with eternity in mind, that this life is short. The Bible calls it a vapor. But eternity is forever. So we should live for eternity, not just for the day. As I listened last week, though, something that God really impressed on me is that we need to recognize that eternity is eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. Revelation 1:8, the eternal Lord says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. So you could say this present time that we're living in right now is actually the eternity of those who've gone before us. My parents are gone, but they're in eternity. I'm living in their eternity. And likewise, the generations that are to come after us will be living in our eternity. So what's the implication or the application of that for us? Well, in John 12:24, Jesus, when he was speaking about his own death, said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So the fruit of our lives will be born for generations to come. But that fruit is not generated from the way we die, but rather from the way we live. Galatians 5:16-25 says, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit as well." So we need to live each day with eternity in mind and thinking not only what our own destination will be, but choosing carefully each day what fruit we're sowing into eternity. And so all this kind of leads nicely into what I really want to share today, and that's kind of looking at our daily lives. You know, there have been songs written and stories written that try to encourage us that God is the same, whether it's a good day or a bad day. There's an old gospel hymn that says, "The God of the mountain is the same as the God of the valley." Last Monday, I turned 65 years old, which means that including leap days plus this past week, I've lived about 23,746 days. I might be off by a leap day or something like that. But, you know, and if I took some time, I could probably come up with 10 or 15 of the very best days of my life and maybe 10 or 15 of the very worst days of my life. But that leaves over 23,700 more or less ordinary days. You see, for me, when things are great, it's easy to praise God and to be thankful. And when things are really bad and you're down at the depths of the valley, there's really nowhere else to go but to Him. So it's not the up here or the down here that's the problem. It's all that stuff in between. It's the ordinary days. Because those are the days that are the challenges. Those ordinary days are the days where I might try to do it on my own, to do it in my own strength, to do it without God. And I want to encourage us all today that God is an extraordinary God who's also the God of the ordinary. He's a supernatural God who's concerned with the natural. God cares about the little things in our lives. There's nothing too big that He can't do it, but there's nothing too small that He's not concerned about it if it concerns us. You know, last week Matt shared a key that Jesus spoke in Matthew 6:33. It said, "Seek first the kingdom of His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you or added to you." And you know, there are many today that seek the kingdom. They seek the power of the kingdom, but they seek it apart from righteousness. And the two are inseparable. In 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And if you don't trust Paul, If you think maybe he was a little too legalistic, in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And I don't mean that if we sin, if we stumble, that we'll not be in God's kingdom. Matt shared last week, and it's a truth, that we enter the kingdom of God based on what Jesus did, based on his righteousness. But we cannot seek the kingdom of God. We cannot seek the blessings and the power of the kingdom of God if we don't also seek his righteousness. So I kind of digress a little bit to get back to where I was going with the Matthew 6:33. Jesus told us to seek the kingdom of God in the context of how God cares about the little things. So in Matthew 6, verses 25 to 32 say, "Do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put in or put on. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you by worrying can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of a little faith, do not worry then, saying, 'What are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? What are we to wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these will be provided to you." You know, there's an Old Testament account in 2 Kings 6, 1 through 6. That I want to share with you. It says, "The disciples of the prophet said to Elisha, 'The place where we're staying is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan River, for each of us can get some logs and make a place for us to live there.' Elisha said, 'Go ahead.' Then one of the disciples asked, 'Won't you please come with us?' Elisha answered, 'I'll go.' So he went with him, and they came to the Jordan River and began to cut down trees. And one of them was cutting down a tree, and the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Oh no, master, it was borrowed.' The man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed Elisha the place, Elisha cut off a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water at that place and made the axe head float. Elisha said, 'Pick it up.' The disciple reached for it and picked it up." You know, that borrowed axe head, it wasn't going to change a single thing in the scheme of eternity. But it was important to that disciple, so it was important enough to God to do a miracle for him. And you know, on a side note, it's not by chance that Elisha caused the axe head to float using a piece of wood. And let's look at the account of that in Exodus 15, 22 to 26. It says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. For that reason, it was named Marah." If you remember the account of Ruth, when she returned without her husband and sons, she said, "Call me Marah," because Marah means bitter. "So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and a regulation. And there he tested them and said, 'If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, and listen to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. So the piece of wood that was used by Elisha and the tree that was used by Moses are symbols of another tree and another piece of wood. They are symbols of the cross of Christ, where every bitter thing is made sweet and every need and miracle is fully accomplished. And as we think about our days, I want you to consider also that the entire gospel accounts probably only cover maybe 30, 40, 50 days of Jesus' life, because there's a lot of replication throughout the gospels. So all those really probably only cover about that 30 to 50 days of individual accounts. Yet, and again, that's only an observation. I didn't Google it or anything like that, but it seems to be about right. Yet, in John's gospel, at the end of his account, in John 21:25, he says, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I expect that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So Jesus was God every day. You know, do you suppose in Jesus' life that there were many, like, ordinary, boring days? I don't think so. Because it says that if everything was written, all the books, the world couldn't contain it. With God, even the ordinary is extraordinary. So how can we make the most of our days? How do we make ordinary days into extraordinary days? In Matthew 14:22-31, after Jesus had just fed the thousands with a few fish and loaves, we see an account where within minutes, Peter experienced some of the best and some of the worst of his times. It says, immediately afterward, he compelled the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Well, he sent the crowds away, and after he sent the crowds away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And on the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter responded and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and when he began to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him. Peter went from walking on water like Jesus to almost drowning in a moment. And sometimes the best of our times and the worst of our times might be separated by just a moment. But what we can learn from Peter's account or his experience, and what is vital for us, regardless of what our circumstance is, whether it's good, bad, or ordinary, is that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. As soon as Peter looked away and saw the circumstances, instead of looking into the face of Jesus, he became afraid. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's not the size of our faith that matters. Jesus says that if we have faith just the size of a mustard seed, that we can move mountains. So what's important, even on our ordinary days, and maybe especially on our ordinary days, is that we keep our eyes fixed on the object of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, Let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of our faith. And in addition to focusing on Jesus increases our faith, there's a natural tendency that the things that we focus on, the things that we look at, the things that we observe are the things that we become more like. So as we focus on Jesus, we'll tend to become more like him. The difference between an ordinary day and an extraordinary day begins with focusing on Jesus every day. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light." So it's not enough just that we focus on Jesus and keep our eyes on him. We need to walk and work with him. We need to go only when and where he leads us. If we remain yoked to Jesus, our ordinary days can become extraordinary because he's the one that's going to do the work. If we're yoked to him, he does the heavy lifting for us. Finally, in John 14, 12 to 15, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus is the one that's going to do the great works. The things that Kat talked about today, the manifestation, we might be vessels, but Jesus is the one that's going to do the work. Every day, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, walking and working with him, we can do the extraordinary works that God has called and equipped us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, supernatural, extraordinary God, help us to fix our eyes on you, to walk and work with you, going when and where you're going. Help us to trust you to do the work in us and through us, that good fruit will be grown and sown into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my